I want to just get into our brand new series here this morning titled Ready, Set, Grow. Church, you know that for the past several Sundays, we've had nine. We didn't get to 10 last week, but eight of those nine Sundays, we embraced the journey of the man Joseph, and we methodically looked at the building blocks of what it took for him to go from survival to significance. I was highly encouraged by the many testimonies that continue to come my way through what God is doing in your lives through that word. It was one of those series that connected on so many levels with many of you, if not all of us. In coming out of such a series, as we continue to move forward in this year, my prayer has been very specific. I've been praying, Lord, what is the message for the church as we move forward, as we move to the next series? Not just a sermon. I hope this comes off right. I don't ever want to preach just a sermon. I want to preach a message in which the Lord, I feel, has spoke to my heart that I am to present to this particular body of Christ. What is the next message that is incredibly specific to each and every one that'll resonate in all of our hearts? What are the words and thoughts that you would have me share with this incredible body of believers here today that's going to increase the stirring that we feel taking place and the hunger that's been developing? Well, as I pray that prayer, the words I continue to hear, and even though I haven't heard them audibly from God in my heart, what I hear is challenge every single person, challenge every family, every ministry leader, every leader, challenge each and every one to ask themselves questions of personal growth. Now, with that thought in mind, there are questions that I've written down, but I pray and ask that during this series that you will ask yourself the questions of personal growth, questions such as these. What area or areas of my life, what right now in the season that I am, what needs new growth? Are there areas perhaps that I've maybe neglected? Are there any areas that I have ignored or maybe even just been a little bit stubborn in developing? Because how many of you know we all have a stubborn streak inside of us, right? We do. What in me, Lord, needs improvement? And am I missing out on what God has for me because maybe I've become a little bit stagnant? Am I daily rising to the challenge of being the better me? Is my witness for Christ a light shining brightly, or is it one that is dimly lit? Is my faith confident? Are my thoughts, is my mind in a good place? Are my words and my actions in line with one another? Am I living a selfless life, or am I being very selfish in the way that I'm approaching it? Is my life consistent and ongoing? And Lord, am I truly bearing the fruit that you would have me bear in the season that I am in at this moment in time? Those are questions of personal growth. Those are questions I believe as your pastor, as I stand before you, I must ask myself and I must challenge every single one of you to ask yourselves these type of questions. Lord, what in me needs to grow at this particular time? The heart of our series, Ready, Set, Grow, is about accepting the challenge to further develop your spiritual life in Christ, beginning with where you are at today and no matter what part of the journey you are on. That hopefully gets rid of any excuses that you and I may have, because what I feel is sometimes people come into the church and because maybe there's something so heavy upon them, you'd say, I don't need a message like that today. I need to be ministered to. I don't really have to concern myself with any types of growth because I have so much on my shoulders right now. Can I tell you, in every season of life, God wants you to grow. A verse that strongly helps us transition from the last series to this one is Psalms 92. I went there a few times towards the end of that series in verses 12 through 15. It says, the righteous flourish. And that's what I really focused on in Survival to Significance, was that word flourish, because we were talking about flourishing and thriving. But notice what it says once again. They flourish like the palm tree and they grow. They grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. That is where they flourish in the courts of our God. Then it says in verse 14, they still bear fruit. The key words of that passage help us understand a significant principle for our lives, and that is this: spiritual growth should take place through all stages of life. whether we are a young student just coming to know the Lord, perhaps a young teenager, or maybe we're an older teenager or in our 20s, 30s, midlife, or even as we get in those years of wisdom, those older years, when we get a little bit closer to seeing Jesus face to face, no matter what season that we are in, no matter what season, personal growth should continue to take place. Scriptures concerning this thought, Proverbs, the very opening chapter, it says, chapter 1, just in the first few verses, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. These were given to know wisdom, instruction, to understand words of insight, receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, in justice, in equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Just in those few opening verses, as you jump into one of the most powerful books of wisdom, which is Proverbs, it tells us that it is given, the words of God are given for the youth to learn, to grow, and for those that have received that to continue to grow. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. The author challenges the readers, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. As we read scriptures such as these, we understand a believer's heart, every single believer at Coweta Assembly of God, a believer's heart should hunger to be nourished. A believer's mind should desire to increase in the capacity of spiritual knowledge. A believer's action should reflect the wisdom in which they have gained. A believer's worship should go deeper as they embrace each season of life. And a believer's hope should be confident, and it should constantly be increasing in measure. You see, spiritual growth, church, repels stagnant faith. Spiritual growth will repel idle thinking, and spiritual growth will certainly repel away from us those foolish ways that we might be tempted to jump into. Spiritual growth for every believer should not be seen as something that is optional, but something in which we desire to pursue daily as we live in the light of Jesus Christ. Now, to help us in our spiritual growth, I want to take us to one of Paul's letters, and that is to Colossians. And Pastor Cody set me up beautifully by going to put some of his words in Philippians. But as we look at Colossians, just for a moment, let's get a little bit of a background here. Colossians is one of the four letters that Paul wrote while in prison. The other ones which you know are being Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. Now, while enduring the chains of difficulty, persecution, and the imprisonment that he had in Rome, Paul's life and ministry were not silenced as he continued through all of those seasons to bear much fruit in his life. As in all of his prison letters, as he wrote to the church, he wrote to them to encourage them, to strengthen them, to correct them, to solve problems, to help them come to resolve, to challenge them, to guide them, and to instruct them. Now, it is highly likely that the church of Colossae was birthed out of the move of God that spread from what was taking place in Ephesus. They were written around the same time. They're very similar in content as you read them, but there's going to be a couple things that you notice. The emphasis in Ephesians is on the church, the body of Christ, while the emphasis in Colossians is on Christ, the head of the church, the head of the body. Now, Colossae, a smaller city in comparison, it was about 100 miles east of Ephesus. Had nearby cities, if you look on a map, of Laodicea and Hierapolis. It wasn't a mega church, by no means, but it was a good-sized church, and it was mostly populated by Gentiles. Now, here's a key factor for us to understand as we move ahead. At the time when Paul wrote this letter, the Colossians were growing in their faith, very much so, we'll see that, and they were learning what it meant to follow Christ and become like him. So he doesn't write this letter because they're not growing at all. There are some challenges, but he does challenge them to do so. So we ask ourselves, so why this letter? Why does the letter come to them? Well, like many of the letters he wrote, they were heavily under fire by those who were trying to derail them in their faith, derail them on what true Christian living was all about, derail them with false beliefs. There was a lot of mythology trying to be mixed in with the church, a lot of Eastern religions. And when you really study the history of that, you will see the same thing happening today as people are trying to bring in what they would call a new thinking and new philosophies. It's really just old school Eastern religion. It's just a lot of old school mythology trying to mix into the church and cause us to be derailed from the faith that we have in Christ. So that is one of the main reasons in which he wrote to them and to encourage them to continue to grow. Now there's a twofold purpose that we will see. In the first couple of chapters, he is emphasizing and solidifying their belief in the gospel, what they've known, what they've been taught, what they've learned, and what they will continue to learn. Then in chapters 3 and 4, he emphasizes and he begins to instruct them on how to apply the gospel message, on how to apply the principles of true Christian living. So he really steps in this moment to rescue them from being derailed, to help them understand and to know God and who they served. Now, the overall theme of Colossians, and many of you know this, can be viewed as this. In the Christian life, Jesus is above all, and he's everything that we need. You will see that. He talks a lot about that in this first chapter, and how Jesus is superior in all things. He's above all, and he's all that we need in our life. He's enough. He is the answer, and he is sufficient. I believe that you're with me on that, because you wouldn't be here today if not so. You need Jesus. You need the presence of him as you gather together with the believers here today. You want that worship. You desire that worship. You desire the message of God. You desire prayer. You desire that fellowship with one another. But as we come together, we understand he's enough. He's the answer. And if we will allow him, he is sufficient to minister to our lives just in what we need in the hour that we're in right now. Amen? We find all that we need pertaining to life. We find all of that in Christ. Now, with those thoughts being shared with you, let me go to the first 14 verses. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up in heaven for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and it is growing, as it also does among you, since the day that you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and in all understanding, so as to walk," hear that phrase is again that Pastor Cody used out of Philippians, "to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now let's stop there this morning as we just kind of lay the foundation for our new series. We see here in these opening verses, Paul's thanksgiving and his prayer for a growing church. And the first thing that I would bring to your attention is the spiritual growth that was identified in these first 8 verses. The Colossians, they had received the gospel, they had believed, and now they were growing in its truth, in the message of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt that they had not received that. We see that plainly written in these opening verses. As Paul writes to them, he quickly identifies 3 significant areas of their growth when it came to Christian living. Those 3 things were faith, love, and hope. Faith, not just in what you know, but also in whom you know. He commended them for that. And also their love for all the saints. That was resulting because of the love of Jesus that they had begun to understand in their own lives. And their hope is the result of a genuine love and an unwavering faith. They had already begun to grow very strongly in these 3 areas. To have these 3 areas mentioned says much about the discipleship that was taking place in the personal lives of the believers and in the church as a whole. Consider Paul's words to the believers in Corinth when he was giving instruction about spiritual growth to that church in the gifts and what was most important in the Christian walk. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, he writes this, "When I was a child, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away those childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever. And he says these things are faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. He puts a lot of emphasis on those three areas of growth in our lives. These three elements are the foundation of the Christian life. So the believers had done well in embracing them, but now they must continue. They must continue to build on what Christ was doing in their lives by moving them forward from saving knowledge to applying that knowledge, what they had received in their daily lives. You understand this. The process of spiritual growth is moving from knowledge to understanding, and then understanding to application. Every single one of us here that have been believers for any amount of time should have this in our hearts that yes, we want to gain the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but then we want to begin to understand it. That's that wisdom kicking in. And when that kicks in, we ought to be able to see that being applied in every area of our lives. It does no good for the believer to just continue to build knowledge but not be able to do anything with it. It does no good for the believer to simply attend church but then do nothing with what they are receiving as they are being taught and challenged and as they are being moved by the Holy Spirit, as they are receiving in the times of worship in the message. There has to be some growth taking place. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'll throw the question out there. How many of us continue to gain in knowledge but yet we do lack the wisdom to be able to apply it in our lives? Many people continue to trip up over the same things. That lets me know that the knowledge may be there, but the understanding on how to overcome those things has not yet been applied. And all of us should not use that excuse, but we should allow the spiritual growth to take place. Today in our walk with the Lord, we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we able to identify the growth that has taken place in our life? Just this past year, again, I'm not asking you to respond to me, but maybe perhaps you want to think about this question. You want to pray over it. And I would even challenge you. Here I am giving you a homework assignment. That's a big challenge. But maybe write down this past year, just some key words, some key areas. What are some areas that I've grown in this past year? We have to ask ourselves a question. Are we able to identify significant growth since we first believed in Christ? Since we first accepted the Lord? How does our lives differ? How does our demeanor differ? How do our words, what about our thought life? What about the way that we face temptations in which the world throws at us? Are we dealing with the same old stuff or have we moved past that because we have seen some growth take place in our lives? Every single one of us ought to be able to answer the question with at least some areas that, yes, I can see some growth that has taken place. Now, that's not being prideful. That's not being arrogant. I think you have to approach that very humbly, but say and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see what you see. Help me to understand what has taken place in my life. Because all of us should be able to measure some growth that has taken place. I go back to Psalm 92 and I think about what was written. And just as the growth of the palm tree in Jerusalem, just as the cedar tree in Lebanon, and to make it real relevant for all of us, just as the oak tree in our backyard, as you're able to see that growth through the passing years, spiritual growth in your life should be easily to identify if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you today, as we are gathered here and as we will pray here in just a few moments, one of the prayers I'd ask you to pray is, Lord, help me to identify the areas of growth and then help me to identify the areas in which I need to continue to grow in. The next thing I would move us into as I look at this particular passage this morning is the spiritual growth now that is pursued. We see this in verses 9 through 14. Paul's prayer is one of a request from the Lord and also one of guidance for the believers in which he prays for. Here we see just a twofold power-packed prayer. The first one was to know God's will, and the second part was to do God's will. To know God's will in verse number 9, not just head knowledge, but with your heart and with your soul. knowing God in a way that moves you to desire and gain spiritual wisdom and gain understanding. And as you gain that spiritual wisdom and understanding, there's going to be just that natural progress that begins to take place in your life as you move forward. To do God's will means you're asking yourself the question daily, God, what is your will for my life? What is your desire? What is your plan? Now, you can have the bigger picture where you don't have to ask every day, because just as I know that I am called to be a pastor and in the ministry, I know that that's part of the bigger picture, but there's also that daily, just that daily prayer and asking the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide your steps that you would follow in God's will for our lives. Now, as Paul presents these two things, he prays for us to do God's will by these things. And it's very simple there in your scripture. One, walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. And that's just daily following Christ's lead. How many of you know that daily the Holy Spirit wants to lead you in how that day unfolds? From the time you wake up, and I believe while you're asleep, God's hand is upon you and his presence is upon you. But when you begin to come alive, when the sun comes up and you begin to come alive, for many of you, you're coming alive before the sun comes up as you have to be at work early. I understand that. But as you begin to wake and you begin to come alive and you begin to move and that blood really begins to flow within your veins, how many of you know the Holy Spirit is flowing within you, and throughout that entire day, he wants to lead you in the way that Christ would have you walk? Because every day you're going to be faced with something. Every day there's going to be conversations, whether good or maybe they're controversial. Maybe you won't have a controversial conversation every day. I hope you don't. But whatever it may be, there are going to be people that you connect with. There are going to be conversations that you have. There's going to be situations where you have to make a decision. You're going to have personal decisions. You're going to have decisions for your home, for your life. Perhaps if you have children or grandchildren, there's going to be those moments that you're going to have to reach down and you're going to have to speak into them. And how many of you know that when you have those moments, you want to be directed and led by the Holy Spirit that's living within you? So in everything, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The second thing, fully pleasing him. That's just being obedient. Fully pleasing him is just being obedient. Pastor, how do I please the Lord? Just be obedient as the Holy Spirit leads you. As you're walking, you know, trying to walk in a manner that's worthy to the Lord, just please him by being obedient as the Holy Spirit prompts you. The third thing there is bearing fruit in every good work, making a difference through your words and through your actions. What type of difference does your life make? That's a good question of personal growth. Does your life make a difference in a way that it encourages others, that it inspires others, that it strengthens others, that helps solidify their faith? Or does your life speak to others where they may see some things that they don't want to be like? Because either way, you're speaking to others. And so as we continue, you want to make a difference through your words and your actions. You want to, number four, continue to increase in your knowledge. There it is again. That's just that hunger for more of God. Number five, being strengthened with all power for endurance and patience with joy. What is that? That's just spirit-filled living. Giving thanks to God for all he is doing in and through you, because we have much to be thankful for. He even continues on and gives a little outline because of that. He says we've been qualified, we've been rescued, we've been transferred, we've been redeemed, and we have been forgiven. So every single day, you have no reason to pout, but you have much reason to be grateful for because of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Now, when I think about the words of Paul to the Colossian church, I cannot help but go back to Joseph's story, in which we just learned so much from. Knowing God, believing God, trusting God, pleasing God, pursuing God. That's spiritual growth. That's something that ought to be taking place in all of our lives. I also cannot help think of the prayers that Paul wrote in all of his prison letters. If I may, I'm going to just pull a little bit from each one of them. Ephesians, he writes, chapter 1, verse 15, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 3, it says, I thank my God in remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. He will continue to work in and through your life. Philemon verses 4, 5, and 6, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Again, I would say to you on this first day of the series, spiritual growth, it is a daily process, a process that helps you move forward in a life in the fullness of all that God has for you and I. In church, spiritual growth, again, can happen throughout your day. Think about it in terms such as this. In the quiet moments of reflection, when you have those, and I hope you have those, if you don't, you need to make some changes. In the quiet moments of reflection in the day, that's when some significant growth can take place, because that's when you've shut everything off and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If you're constantly looking at a computer screen, it's going to be difficult for you to grow in the Lord. If you constantly have your phone on, if you constantly have your computer on, if you constantly have your TV on, if you never shut it off, if you never silence it, you're never going to convince this pastor that you have spent some adequate time with the Lord. Now, I've got the Bible app on my phone. I used it this morning. I'll have the Bible app when I'm listening to others preach. I'll use my phone. I'll use the resources. I'll use my computer. I'll use my programs. I'll use all the different commentaries and different things that I have. I thank God for all of those effective tools in which I have in my hands. But how many of you know there are times when I've just got to silence all of life's distractions and I've got to allow the Lord to speak to me in a way that's just me and Him? This may seem insignificant or maybe even too elementary this morning, but can I tell you the church is hurting today because the church cannot get their faces outside of a computer screen. They have too much influence from something other than the Holy Spirit. Too much influence other than just their direct relationship with God. And as simple as it may be, I would dare to ask this question. I don't want you to raise your hand. How many of you today have already had your face in front of a computer screen? I'm one of them. So I'm just throwing that out there because I want you to help you to understand some of the things, because I hear these, you know, sometimes individuals, I want to grow, I want to move forward, but yet we're doing some of the things that we did when we first learned and we haven't gone past those baby steps to say, you know what, I need to get alone with God. I need to get alone with God. Coming to church is not getting alone with God. Coming to church is fellowship with other believers. Coming to church is worshiping with other believers. Coming to church is receiving with other believers. It's powerful. It's effective. Hebrews tells us, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We are to come together as a body of Christ. And as significant and as powerful as that is, that still does not take place of you getting alone with God. It is in those moments of reflection, some good things take place. In the productive moments of accomplishing a task that the Lord had before you, there's moments that growth can take place. In the moving moments when you've helped meet someone's need. In the powerful moments of bringing a smile to others. In the enduring moments when you've pushed through a difficult time. In the obedient moments when you listen to and you follow the Holy Spirit. In the heat of the moment when you overcame the temptation. In the difficult moments that were outside of your control, but you came through and you stayed steady with the Lord. In the loud moments of confrontation, yet you held your cool and you allowed the peace of God to help you through that. In the unexpected moments when you continue to remain steady with a confident hope. In all of those daily moments, that's room for God to continue to grow what's taking place inside of you. Now, you may not make a list such as this each day as I have, but every day you are giving, every day that the Lord gives to you is a blank page to fill with what the Lord is revealing to you. I have to go back this morning to my first questions. What right now, today, very specifically, needs to take place in your life? What is your soul hungering for? What is your mind desiring? What is your heart caring? What's on your thoughts? Even at this moment, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about how this message can resonate in your spirit? Are you thinking about maybe having another beautiful day ahead of you? Are you thinking about the casserole that you already put in the oven? Are you thinking about sitting down? I don't know if there's any NASCAR or golf on. You can always tell that football season is over and basketball is coming to an end because there's a lot of irrelevant sports on TV. But no. Sorry. That probably came out judgmental. All right. I need to grow in that. All right. What's your mind on right now? Because I would say all of us need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us take us to that place. What in me needs some new growth? What in me needs to begin to bud out? Just like we're getting ready to see all the trees start budding. They're getting ready to start flourishing and growing even more. I've got an oak tree in my front yard that we received from my mother, my mother-in-law. She had this in her yard years ago, just a little twig that came up from one of the acorns that had fell. She put it in a pot. She let it get about that tall. She gave it to us. And we thought, oh, that's pretty cool because I love trees, because we bought a piece of property where our house is on that had absolutely no trees. So now I have like 18 trees. And, you know, and they're, when I say trees, they're twigs compared to some of your trees because they're all new growth. This little thing was like this. I put it in a great spot because where we have our house, our soil has it doesn't perk for a septic tank. So I have a septic system that has an aerobic system. You know what I'm talking about? If you ever have to have one of those, just move. Sell your house and go somewhere else so you can put a real septic tank in. Anyway, I have these sprinklers that come up. You know, you have to keep chemicals inside of your septic tank. There's a claim out there that the water is so clean and pure that you could drink it. I don't know who thought of that. I don't know who tried it first. I'm not going there. But anyway, I put it in the path of where those sprinklers are. And let me tell you, that's some fertile soil because that tree has really began to grow. Have you ever driven by my house? Now, it's still not a big, huge tree. But just in the last 5 years, it's went from this to being a pretty good size oak tree. To see that growth, for me, I know I'm getting older, but I'm speaking to a crowd older than me, so you understand this. I love to see that growth year to year. I love to see what happens as more nature, more birds, more squirrels, more things like that begin to take shelter in those type of things. There's just so much from there. I sit back and I look at it. I love to see that growth. So that, which I'm thinking about, I'm like, Lord, that's what I want to see in me year to year, season to season, moment to moment. God, I want to grow in such a manner. Takes me again back to Psalm 92. I want to be like those palm trees. I want to be like those cedar trees of Lebanon. I want the growth to take place in my life. So I ask you today, what needs growth? What needs improvement? You see, I can help you get there, but I can't get as specific as the Holy Spirit can. I can give you some ideas, but mine are just ideas. I can stand behind the pulpit as your pastor, and I can present what the Lord has laid upon my heart, but you have to hear from the Holy Spirit on what needs to grow in you. Is it your thought life? Is it your time? Is it your personal time? Is it getting away and shutting things off? Is it spending more time with the Lord? Is it spending more time with your spouse, with your family? I don't know what it is. The Holy Spirit will lead you in that area. But what needs to grow today? Because if you'll accept that, if you'll receive that, then whatever season of trial or difficulty you're in right now, that growth will help you out of it. That growth will help you overcome it. If you're just spinning your wheels in the hole, you know, you've ever been stuck in the mud and you just spin your wheels and you're not getting any traction, what happens? You just get further and further and further and further bogged down. And the more you try to get out, the worse things get. You got to have some help to get you out of that. Can I tell you that growth that wants to take place in your life, perhaps for some of you, that's what'll get you out of that stuck season or that stagnant season or whatever season you want to call it or however you want to label it. That growth that the Lord wants to do will help you come out of that. Again, do you see the transition from coming from Joseph to where we are? We saw what happened in Joseph. We saw together what needed to take place. there was something very specific that had to happen within his life. And there was a plan that had to unfold specifically for him. And when it unfolded, he got there to a very significant place. We saw that together. So now I transition to you very personally. And I say, what is it that God wants to grow in you? Because God wants to do something. What is God desiring to do in your life? And this morning, are you ready to begin to receive that and commit yourself to that growth and allow him to do that work in for you? I wasn't sure about this thought. It came to mind because I don't want to come at it like, you know, hitting in the face in a judgmental way, but I just want to throw the question out there. If a message such as this, and this isn't any way to exalt me, it's just the word of God. I want to stand here and just preach the word of God. But if a message such as this doesn't resonate in your spirit this morning, you may have already stopped growing. Because what kind of message are you looking for? Do you need to be inspired again? Do you need to be entertained again? Do you need something other than what the Lord wants to do in you? Because I believe what the Lord is doing to every individual and to this body, he's speaking to us and he's saying, hey, I've got a lot more that I want to do within you. I got a lot more I want to do within you. I want to do things in your personal life. I want you to experience more of my knowledge, more of my fullness. I want you to experience more of my peace, more of my life. I want you to understand really what it is to truly live out your Christian life, what it does for you as an individual, how that impacts your family, how that impacts the atmosphere of the home. And as you grow in that, I want you to be a part of your church. And I want you to receive what the church is throwing at you. I want you to be one who prays. I want you to be one who serves. I want you to be one who gives. I want you to use those gifts that the Holy Spirit has placed within your life. I need to use you in a day and an hour today to help repel against all the false deception that is out there. All of the junk, all of the darkness, all of the confusion, all of the chaos. I mean, you and I know it. Every single day, the world just seems to get a little bit darker. And so the Lord needs the church to grow up so what we can do is shine the light of Christ brightly. If not, our beliefs are going to continue to line up closer and closer with the world. We're going to continue to allow just the pressure of Hollywood and the pressure of the news stations and the pressure of politics and the pressure of what the culture wants. We're going to allow that to dictate who we are and how we live. And if we do that, can I tell you, the world's going to get a whole lot darker. But if I allow Christ in me, that light to continue to build and grow, then that's going to help me as I gather with others as we have today for that light to shine even brighter. Because there's a lot of people that still need to hear the gospel and the love and the truth of Jesus Christ. And you and I are part of that. Growth is vitally important. I've said it for years. I didn't even put it down. It's like I've said it too many times, but it just comes to mind. You're either growing daily or you're dying gradually. And I want to grow in the Lord. Amen. I know my physical body does that, but my spiritual body doesn't have to die. My physical body, and that's where we get confused. Just because we get older and our physical body is wasting away doesn't mean our spiritual life is wasting away. Our spiritual life is getting closer and closer and closer to receiving the fullness in which Paul is talking about. All of us. Ought to be at a place where we're saying to ourselves, I'm ready, I'm set, let's do this, let's grow.